am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Last year, my next guest participated and won the Superstar Chef Challenge on the Food Network. This fall, October 1st, in fact, he launches a new series, The Main, airing Mondays. The program features Anthony Sedlak, already an internationally recognized chef. I've seen a handful of episodes already. It's energetic, colorful, well-photographed, and incredibly easy to follow, whether you know your way in the kitchen or not. Anthony Sedlak grew up in North Vancouver, where at the age of 13, he began working as a busboy at Grouse Mountain Resort. By 15, he was proficient on all stations in the kitchen. He has enjoyed great success at the observatory there, working up to chef de partie, all the while completing the culinary art program at Carson Graham Secondary. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Anthony Sedlak. Good morning, Mr. Sedlak.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
That all sounds very impressive when you say it like that.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 24 now.
I hate asking that question.
No, not at all.
But that is, it is an impressive life thus far. Did you always, were you always have a knack for cooking?
No, I've never really looked at my whole career like that. I've always just kind of done what I need to get done every day, right? And I've always had, I've always been really lucky to have a really great group of people around me. I have to give luck a good amount of credit for my career, and I'd also like to think some hard work in there somewhere. But as far as my passion for cooking goes, it definitely kind of kicked off when I was about 17 or 18. I was in kitchens when I was 13, but it was more the group of people I was working with, and I was always working with, you know, 21, 22, 23-year-old guys and girls. So it was really like having, you know, 30 or 40 big brothers and sisters, which was really kind of cool, if you ask me. I was hanging out with people a lot older, and I had a paycheck coming in. But definitely, it wasn't about food right off the get-go.
And it must have been fun working up at Grouse.
Well, initially I did it for the free snowboard pass.
Most people do, I think. besides the television show, are you a chef? Is that your job?
Yeah, so I'm definitely a chef by trade. I did a four-year apprenticeship under my chef at Grouse Mountain. He's now the chef of the River Rock Casino, named Sylvain Curier. And it's actually not complete. I actually postponed my third-year exam of my apprenticeship to go off to London, England, and cook. I had the opportunity to do that. And it's just it's a brilliant opportunity when you can have Europe on your resume. So I chose to do that. And still haven't gone to that exam, but I will. It's on my to-do list.
And the television show, how did you get involved with the Food Network, this contest, Superstar Chef?
Right, well, that was the initial series. So I actually missed the first season of Superstar Chef Challenge, and I'm not sure why or how, because I watch the Food Network every single day, almost all day, when I have time. And I must have been in the kitchen, but anyway.
Yeah.
The audition, they kind of pulled the audience for audition tapes for season two. And I never saw the kind of request for these audition tapes. My girlfriend did. And she said, oh, you should do this. You'd be great. And it wasn't really my thing. And, you know, I also thought, like, you know, what are the chances of, like, winning the lottery? It's never going to happen. And so the deadline, came and went. And I guess the Food Network wanted more variety, or I'm not sure what, you know, what the official reason was, but they extended the deadline. So I said, okay, you know, I should just do it. And my girlfriend was really kind of, you know, in a fun way, she was just kind of bugging me every day. So I figured, you know, I'll get her off my back and I'll send in this tape. So I did. Basically, it was the day before the deadline, and I didn't have a tape made yet. I had to have kind of a, you know, a few minute camcorded tape of you cooking in the kitchen, doing something, you know, kind of fun and animated. And I didn't have anything put together, and I don't even own a camcorder, to be honest. So you had to send in a photo. I had that, and answer a few very simple questions. What's your favorite food? Why would you be a good, you know, host on the network? What makes your style unique? Type questions. So I called up this gentleman. His name's Gary Payne, and he had done the interview on me a couple weeks prior. So I called him up, and I said, you know, Gary, what are the chances of getting that tape? And he said, well, it's just going to edit, and it'll probably take a few days. So I said, listen, you can bring your whole family up to the dining room. I'll make dinner, wine, you know, the full-on chef's menu and everything. And if I can get some sort of rough cut in the next couple hours. So he called me back, and he said he could pull it off. So I went and I picked up the tape. And I went straight to FedEx, and I shipped it off. So I never even saw the tape that I sent in. So it was a real shocker when I got, you know, this call from the Food Network, and they said, you're one of seven chefs. We're going to fly you out to Toronto. take part in this reality series, right? And it's your standard issue kind of typical reality show series. You know, you have events every day, challenges, if you will, and, you know, at the end of the day, you stand in front of that panel of judges, and one person gets mixed and has to, you know, do the walk down the hallway or whatever, and I was lucky. Luck of the last person standing. So the prize was to sit down with the executives of Lions Atlantis and discuss the possibility of doing a show, not necessarily having a show. And here I am today with the main.
Now, did you always have, because you seemed quite animated, quite energetic and lively on the program. Did you have to work to that because you hadn't done television before? Or are you just naturally gregarious?
Well, you mean about being energetic?
Or being on television, I guess.
Yeah, being on television, it was definitely, like, the first, I was talking about these challenges we had to do in this reality series. The first challenge was to go out on set, and, you know, they had a bunch of cameras, and a bunch of directors, you know, floor staff, and all these bright lights and stuff on this kitchen set. So it was totally, like, you totally felt alienated on this kitchen set. This wasn't the kitchen that we knew, right? This is now a television set. So we had to make this crepe, which is really quite an easy task, and we had, you know, whatever ingredients we wanted to put in there. But the difference was, and I've done, you know, my fair share of culinary competitions, the difference here on this first challenge was we only had 8 minutes to do it, which is a good amount of time, but then we also had to host the cameras and entertain. So all of us, that was like a big eye-opener to us, because now it's like, wow, this is as much about hosting and entertaining as it is about food. Because, you know, if the person changes the channel, it doesn't matter how good a cook you are, right?
Right.
So now we had to, you know, put on a show. And definitely that is challenging, but I do love it. Like, I quite like being in front of the camera. And as far as energy and being, you know, loving what I do, that's no problem, because food, right? I like to think of myself as still just a cook, and if people want to watch me cooking on TV, well, that's awesome.
Now, where did you film the show? You've done how many episodes now? 13?
We've done 26 episodes.
26.
And it's shot in good old Toronto.
How, in terms of the premise of the main, it's one course, is it?
Yeah, essentially, for the most part, it's one main course showcasing or featuring one main ingredient. And I love this concept because we're not talking about, you know, foie gras or truffles or black trumpet mushrooms from France or something. We're talking about, you know, like a whole show on prosciutto, a whole show on olives, a whole show on dried pasta or fresh pasta or, you know, fennel or the tomato or the onion, believe it or not. We have a whole show on the onion. And so what it does is it really explores what we all have hanging out in, you know, the basics that we all have in our pantry, the vegetable crisper, and the fridge. So really, to the viewer, it gives this incredible ability to open the fridge and say, you know, there's a lot of options here, and we're going to have something, you know, not the norm, right? So it's cool. It gives a lot of creativity, a lot of, you know, power to be creative to the viewer, a lot of options, and, you know, you really learn what you can do with the staples we already have at home. Now, the other part I love about it, you know, big part of the concept is that I've worked at some professional kitchens and stuff, and there's so many little tricks of the trade that chefs have, whether it's, you know, a twist of a knife or maybe buying a $30 plastic mandolin to get that perfect julienne, you know, and that totally wows your friends. And it's often the simple little tips that have the most wow factor when it's all said and done on the plate. And so we really offer all those tips, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised how, you know, I really think cooking is quite easy. It's just knowing, being shown really once, you know, what the deal is, especially with those kind of little insider tips.
Now, you're a chef by trade, so you're doing a television show for the general television audience.
Right.
You don't want to be making things complicated.
Totally.
Do you find though that perhaps you'd like to do something a little fancier?
That's a really good question, actually, and I haven't been asked that, but that is definitely a challenge. And I have such a brilliant food stylist that I work with. Obviously, there's, you know, different food is so time sensitive and stuff, so we have a food stylist to make sure that, because it takes 14 hours to shoot a episode, right, of 20 to 30 minutes of television.
Is that right? 13 hours to do a half an hour?
Yeah, 13 to 15 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty serious. But anyways, no, I think that's a very good question, and
because it seems that I know cooks and the sort, and they always, when they see something simple on television, they say,
yeah.
Well,
I was just trying to think of an example, and this is, like, my food stylist will always say, you know, maybe I'm up there and I'm chopping an onion, and I'll say, you know, you really want this quite fine. You want, like, a brunoise. Well, a brunoise is a French culinary term that means 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter, and it's a standard, you know, it's very standard dice in professional kitchens. So she'll be like, no. Did your grandma know what a brunoise is? Does your mom know what a brunoise is? And I'll be like, no, she doesn't. You know, so just chop it up really fine, you say that. Do you know what I mean? So she's always calling me on, busting me out on kind of using terminology that's way above somebody's head. And the other thing is, so you have to simplify in that sense. And then also, because this show is, airs nationally, you have to do food items and recipe items that are going to be accessible. You know, if you can't get pancetta in part of Canada, well, then that's not a good option, right? Because we want something that everybody can go to the market and do, right? So we really try and keep it, keep the ingredients to, you know, everything you can find at most supermarkets.
You mentioned that you watch a lot of cooking programs whenever you have the time to be in front of a television. Which television chefs did you sort of like and come to learn from?
Right. Everyone expects me to say Jamie Oliver just because, I guess, you know, we're both young guys. But and obviously, he's brilliant at what he does. He's got a cooking empire, really. But I really, really love to watch a gentleman named Alton Brown. He's a U.S. Food Network host. And what I love about him is that he really explores the scientific aspects of cooking, not necessarily finished result, but how he got to the finished result. For example, you know, it could be something as simple as, we all know green vegetables will turn brown if we cook them too long or put acidity on them, like lemon juice. But why is that? That's because the chlorophyll in green vegetables is affected by two things, heat and acid. So, or, you know, why can you cook a carrot for 12 hours and it won't change color, it stays nice and orange? You know, things like that. So he really explores why things happen in the kitchen, and that's what I really love, but that may just be me, because, you know...
He's also very funny.
I think he's very... I'm glad you're a fan. What he says is very well thought out, and he always has a really smart comment. And I noticed that a lot on Iron Chef, because that's kind of on the fly, you know what I mean? He's coming up with that, you know, on the go, for the most part, right? Which I think is really impressive. I definitely appreciate, you know... Mario Vitale is so talented. And then I really think the Food Network has a show for everybody. They've really reinvented the cooking show, and they offer, you know, all sorts of varieties of shows. You know, you have food jammers for young kind of guy teenagers or whatever, inventors and stuff, and that, you know, that's not your stereotypical food show. But I really appreciate sort of mom appeal shows. Like, I really like Ina Garten or Paula Deen, because it's like, sit back, you know, I lie on the couch and it's like watching my mom cook or something. And my mom will be the first person to admit she can't cook half as good as either of those women, but it's relaxing and it's almost like comforting.
So do you live in Toronto now?
No, I'm out there about 4 months every year, and then, you know, a series of trips out to there. But I'm based here in North Vancouver.
And what do you learn, I guess, because we live in the Lower Mainland, the Greater Vancouver area, just the selection and the food and the variety of food must be heaven for a chef.
It really is, and especially with, you know, cheese making becoming so well done in BC, and the produce is unbelievable. We have these really brilliant farmers markets, and then you also have a lot of places starting to pick up organics, and I'm a firm believer, you know, we're greatly privileged to have the ability to fly in passion fruits from Fiji, even though they're not in season, or mahi-mahi from Hawaii, but I really believe as a chef, you have, I try at least to buy produce and stuff that's local, because you put it back into the market, into our market, it's always going to be fresher. There's something to be said for that. It's always going to be a better product. And I think as a chef, that's part of our trade. Do you know what I mean? If you look back to, like, you know, back in the day, chefs didn't have the option to have any ingredient from anywhere in the world at the time. So I think it's part of the challenge. Do you know what I mean? And they say that, you know, one of my favorite sayings is that any chef can make a great meal if he has, you know, whatever he wants, but a great chef can make a good meal with what he has. And, you know, I think that's really what it's about, because in the winter, sure, you don't... I just think it's silly when you go to a restaurant in the winter and there's, you know, green asparagus on the menu or whatever it might be, right? And I really appreciate chefs that can go length to be creative with what they have. And maybe in the wintertime, that means using some of the more maybe not-so-glorious vegetable items, you know, beets. But they're beautiful anyways, right? Beets and onions and all these wonderful potatoes and leeks and such, right?
Right. Well, Anthony, thanks so much for joining us today, and good luck with the show.
Thank you.
We'll watch you on October 1st.
Oh, that sounds good.
The Main begins October 1st on the Food Network. I'm Joseph Planta.